I'm David Schreiner Kahn, and this is Smashing the Plateau. No matter how successful you are, there's probably at least one area where roadblocks are keeping you from fully achieving your goals. Fortunately, you've come to the right place. Every expert I interview on this podcast is different, but they all have one thing in common. They know how to fix problems that keep people stuck. Today, I'm pleased to welcome Susan Barber. Susan is an executive leadership coach with over 20 years as an information technology and leadership executive. She started her own coaching business with a focus on helping her clients build confidence, enhance their leadership skills, and find their authentic voice. Susan coaches individuals one-on-one, leads group coaching programs and mastermind groups. She believes in the power of connections and helping women reach their potential. She started an employee resource group in her former corporate role, focused on helping women position themselves for success. When Susan became a coach, she recognized an opportunity to bring together other coaches to share ideas and support each other as entrepreneurs. Her passion for leadership led her to start the Creating Leadership Connections Facebook group to bring leaders together to share ideas, ask for help, and learn from each other. Susan, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Great to be here.
So I often describe a plateau, particularly in business, by understanding that success is not a linear progression. We all have ups and downs, and the unexpected roadblocks that we hit along the way can really throw us for a loop. And as we become more experienced as leaders, we might get more used to the fact that these roadblocks happen. Yet the more experienced we are, sometimes those roadblocks, even though they're unexpected, if we're trying techniques that we've used before to overcome roadblocks and they're not working, it can become even more frustrating as time goes on. And for leaders that look ahead at what they dream to achieve before their story ends, if there's a sizable gap between where they are now and where they want to end up, and that gap is getting bigger as opposed to smaller, it can cause a lot of freaking out. And you've had a lot of experience yourself in business and helping others who are in leadership roles. What are some of the biggest challenges you see experienced leaders face when they're at a plateau?
Well, I think in general, it's that they start to have doubts about themselves and they start to lose confidence. They start to feel like, can I really do, you know, what it is I think I want to do? And of course, if they start to act like that or think like that, then they start to act like that. And it makes it a real challenge then to start to change their mindset. In order to change that perception, you really have to start to change how you think about yourself, reflect why you're getting that feedback or why you're feeling that way, and how can you move past that? And for me, that did happen. And I found myself my own executive coach to help me really understand maybe what was driving some of that for myself, and also just my own self-awareness, just increasing that and saying, you know, I need to be in this role. This is what I want to do. So what do I need to do to change how I think about myself and how I portray myself in meetings and in conversations so that other people see that I'm a really good fit for that role?
So let's talk a little bit about what happened with you.
Well, let's see. So it's an interesting situation. There was a big negotiation that was happening that I had to take over for someone else. And it ended up going fine. And we got, you know, the savings that we wanted to get out of the project. And everything was fine. But I think people didn't see it happening as quickly as they wanted it to. And if anyone's been a part of a big negotiation, sometimes they go faster and sometimes they go slower.
And probably more often they go slower.
Yeah, exactly. There's just forecasted things that happen. So, you know, it ended up working out well, but it just didn't happen as quickly as people wanted it to. And so people started to look at me and say, you know, what could you have done differently? What could you have done better? What could you have done faster? And they just really started, I think, to plant some seeds of doubt in my mind. Like, what didn't I do well? What could I have done? And so that just became, I think, a thought in people's mind that I should have done things differently. And so that just, you know, snowballed, I guess I will say, into other things. And then people started to question other things. And it really made me question, am I in the right role? Am I in the right company? Am I, you know, all those things just started to happen for me. And when I went to see my coach, I was really at a low point and I didn't know, you know, how to get myself out of it at that point. And so talking to her and really understanding that I've done a lot of great things in my career, I've done a lot of great things in my life, and really focusing on those and recognizing that I've had other situations where maybe they haven't gone as well. And how did I get myself out of those? How did I move past those? And just really focusing on the positive side of it instead of the negative side, and knowing that I can do all the things that people think I can do. I just need to believe it myself. So the problem wasn't everyone else necessarily. It was how I believed, you know, I could do things, what my confidence level was. My visibility was just not there because I was holding myself back. I was playing small. And I didn't really want that to be what I ended my career with. So I just went in there and really changed how I handled myself in meetings. I spoke up. I sat at the table. I made sure that people knew who I was. I made recommendations. And all of those little things, that they don't sound like big things, but those things make a difference in an organization where perception is a challenge. And those perceptions began to change. And I really was thought of, you know, just the way I had been before. But it took me, you know, it took some work to make that happen for myself.
So mindset is a big issue. And it sounds like mindset can be the starting place to try to make some changes ourselves that will help us overcome what seems to be a major roadblock.
Exactly. Yeah, because it's all driven by how you think about yourself. And if you think I'm not good enough, then you're going to act not good enough. And if you think that I'm great and I can do all these things that I know I'm really good at, then you start to really show those actions to other people.
Right. But those are also actions that we have control over. Sometimes there are external forces over which we have no control or very little control. And they also can be roadblocks.
Yeah, and that's where I had to start to really show myself differently to other people, because those were going to be roadblocks I was going to have to face, and I knew that. So I had already, you know, caused some doubt in some people's minds, and I didn't want that to be the case going forward. So I spent a lot of time working with them, understanding their feedback, understanding what challenges they saw that I was having and how could I address those. And in the end, I took a different role, and it really was a great experience because I just took the lead and ran with it. I didn't even think twice about it. I didn't worry about what other people were thinking. I just did what I thought was the right thing to do. And at the end of the day, that was the right decision. And it showed that I had the leadership that everybody knew I had.
Susan, how important do you think it is to ignore what other people's perceptions are about you?
I don't know if I would ignore them necessarily. I would take the feedback, but I don't know that you have to live and die by those perceptions, because just because someone wants you to be a certain way doesn't mean that that's being true to you. And I think that's another thing I learned for myself, is that I was portraying myself how they wanted me to be and not necessarily how I felt like I should be as a leader. And so there was some conflict there internally for me of how can I be myself, be the leader that I know I can be, and still, you know, take in account their feedback, but not necessarily change everything about me to be just like they want me to be. And so that's, I think, an internal challenge that a lot of people face, because they may be one person at work and another person at home. And it becomes a challenge to say, who am I really? Who do I want to be as a leader? And how can I stay authentic and true to myself, but accomplish the goals that I need to?
So in the process of getting help to deal with these kinds of challenges, how do you avoid reacting to the perception of somebody who's trying to help you get through those roadblocks? Like, let's say you are looking for somebody to guide you, whether it's a coach or a mentor or a peer. How do you distinguish or differentiate between what can really be helpful and deal with some of the either the mindset issues that you have or deal with some of the tactical actions that you might need to be able to take? How do you separate those from those perceptions that might end up continuing to weigh you down?
Well, I did have someone who gave me some pretty direct feedback, I will say, and it didn't make a whole lot of sense to me. So I did, not in the sense that they didn't say the things that they thought I need to hear, but it wasn't really actionable to me, and I wasn't sure how to address that. So I had a really great mentor that I went and talked with and said, you know, here's the feedback I got. you know, what do you think that means? And so she said, let me take out my little decoder ring and I will tell you what she's really saying to you is this. And once I was able to understand what she meant, I found that, yeah, she's making a lot of sense. That does make sense. I am doing that. But it didn't make sense at the time she said it to me. I felt defensive, and I was trying to just understand her point of view. And so in the moment, you're trying to just take it all in. And I needed some time to step away from it and separate out what could I do differently? What did I want to do that was actionable that would demonstrate exactly what she talked about? And so I think you have to take it in, let it kind of settle within you, understand what it means for you, and then what can you do to maybe take into account what she said, but not necessarily change everything about yourself to be like everyone else in the organization. You want to stand out. You want to be someone who reflects who you are, but still stands out as a leader.
And with somebody who's in a mentorship role, don't they also have perceptions about you?
I think they can have perceptions about you, but they're trying to look at it more from a different lens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's different when you get feedback from a leader that's over you or a manager that's over you versus a mentor who really, I think, in most cases has your best interest at heart. They're trying to mentor you to guide you through a situation that you haven't encountered before. And in at least in my cases, all the mentors I've had along the way have always provided feedback. Now, do they do it in the same way that I would do it? Not necessarily. But they do provide feedback that's very helpful, that's actionable, and then I just have to apply it in the best way for me.
So that being said, what strategies do you suggest for people who may need a mentor or a coach? How do they find somebody who is the right fit for what they need?
So I've done a couple different things. From a mentor standpoint, I looked for someone within my organization that was well-respected, that I knew was able to understand the management side of things, how things worked, had been in that group before, and was able to just give me guidance in situations that, you know, she probably faced as well. And I had a couple different mentors along the way. So I tried to go with people that were maybe a couple levels above me and had a very visible view of the politics that would be going on, the organizational changes that would be happening, and just a really good, who I thought and respected as a leader. And then from a coach standpoint, I had talked to a couple different coaches, but for me, the biggest thing when you want to work with a coach is, do you have a connection with them? Do you have an authentic feeling about them, and that you could trust them, that you could share the things that are happening with you and really build a relationship with that person? And for the first few that I talked to, I didn't really feel that connection. And the third person that I met with had come in for a personal branding presentation, and she happened to be an executive coach. And I just knew when she was talking, she was like speaking my language. She was saying the things that I really knew I needed to work on and that I wanted to change. And so I set up time with her, had a conversation, and we just clicked. So I think there is, you know, there's differences between mentors and coaches, and you need to make sure it's a good fit for you and it's going to provide the outcomes that you're looking to get.
Right. So you really need to be clear for yourself what kinds of outcomes you're trying to achieve and what it is you need to learn to get there.
Correct.
And when is it more appropriate to try to find a peer support group as opposed to finding a mentor or a coach to help you?
So I think there's a lot of benefits in having a peer group that you can work with, and I've definitely had those along the way as well. I think it's good to just share with each other the experiences that you're having and try to learn from each other. There's been a lot of situations where maybe certain groups are going through something together, a change in the organization, and it's good to really work together through that change, because you don't want to feel like you're the only one going through it. You want to be able to share what you're feeling with other people and how can you move past those challenges that you may be going through and help your team or your organization move forward as well. So I've always found those to be beneficial to me, and I have leveraged those throughout my career.
Do you find anything counterintuitive about the way peer groups support one another as opposed to a coaching or mentorship relationship?
No, I mean, I think you have different, I guess, different focuses. You know, the mentor and the coach is really working with an individual to help them grow and develop and learn from situations. I think in a peer group, you may be going through a situation already and you're trying to work through it as a team because everyone's going to come at it with their own perspective. And just because they're a part of the group, their perspective might just be the right thing you need to hear at that moment in order for you to move forward. So I've leveraged them from that standpoint of how can we move forward together as a group and how can we help other people get through this change, whatever it may be.
And are there particular methods that you think are important to finding a group that might be a good fit for you?
Well, I think if you're in an organization, you're natural, it would be natural to assume it's your peer group that you're maybe all the people report to one manager or you're all part of one area within the organization. I've had those as well. I think it's good to have some kind of an affinity that you're all connected by. So in my group, it was all of my IT peers that I worked with, and we would come together on a regular basis to talk about challenges, whatever we wanted to bring forward as agenda items. And it really worked because we all were coming at it from the same general place. We all knew what the vision was, what we wanted to accomplish as an organization. It was some of the challenges that we were facing and how do we work through those as a team and a group. I've seen it in other ways too, where, you know, just like I talked about in the introduction about the women's group, that was a different focus of how do we help women advance in the organization. And it wasn't just bringing together one location and meeting together in a room. It was bringing together over 100 locations and how do we make them feel a part of this, even if they're on the phone? How do we make them feel like they are going to be moving forward themselves and being able to share and be a part of this, even if they can't be with us physically in the room? So it brought together some different challenges of how to make that happen. But in the end, that is the one I think I'm most proud of because it brought together people who would ordinarily not feel like they had anyone to talk to or that they could share ideas with. And they were able to feel like I'm not alone. I'm not going through this by myself. I can talk to people and build relationships with people just like me.
Yeah, I was actually going to say when you were talking about the peer group of people all inside the same organization or in fact, all part of the same work team, I'm wondering whether there might be issues that they would be reluctant to talk about because they may not feel like they have the safe space to open up about them.
Yeah, I mean, I think that could be a possibility. The thing that I think made that work for us was we were all at basically the same level. And I think once you pull in maybe one of the management team or someone else who is a higher level, I think you have that risk of not sharing as much because you don't necessarily want everyone to know. But I think it's much easier when you have a peer group of people that you've worked with for a period of time. You've already started to build that trust. And it worked for us really well because we were all at the same level. We were all going through the same experience. And we all knew that we wanted it to be a better experience for our teams. And that was our goal and our vision. And because it wasn't necessarily just about us, it was about how do we help everybody else. I think that made it work.
Mm. Susan, how do you think the explosion in the coaching industry, and I'm not speaking just necessarily about business coaches or coaching in a business environment, but there's coaches now for all kinds of things in our business lives, our personal lives, our spiritual lives, our relationship lives, and there really seems to be no barrier to entry for anybody to call himself or herself a coach. It doesn't mean that they actually have any skills doing it. And yet some of these people seem to be, as coaches, seem to be quite successful. I'm wondering what your thoughts are about how this explosion may be impacting the way in which people who do need help in a business situation are able to sift through what's going on and find a good solution.
Yeah, I have thought about this a lot, actually. I have seen, just to your point, have seen a lot of people who have no certification, really didn't go through classes, but seem to be making a great go of their business. And some of that is that, you know, I think they have the confidence in themselves to go forward and they make things happen. And people see them leading and doing good things for other people. And they're getting, you know, a lot of experience by doing that. So it works for them. I chose to take the path of more of a certification and classes because I knew at some point I wanted to do things not only with individuals, but with organizations. And I think once you're trying to do something with an organization without a certification behind your name, I just don't think that organizations are necessarily going to see that you may be a good fit. You know, I think we all could probably attest to the fact that they look for those things when they're hiring people. So I knew that for me, that's what I wanted to do. And I wanted to learn the skills that were going to make me a successful coach. And so that was my own decision to do that. But many of the coaches that I work with agree with that. And I think the risk of the coaching industry by not at least having some barriers to entry can be a challenge because it's going to potentially cause issues for the coaches who are really good. And it could have some credibility issues because they may use someone who is, you know, charging $25 and is not necessarily providing the results. So there is a balance there that I think the ICF organization, the International Coaching Federation, is trying to balance within their own world of how do we make sure that we have some barriers to entry, but we don't allow people to not be able to get through those barriers and be successful coaches and provide assistance to people. And you just have to really weigh through what it is you want, what are the goals you have to accomplish, and has this person demonstrated this already? Is it someone that you have gotten from a referral? Is it someone that you see has already been able to demonstrate these skills and that it's a good fit for your organization? So a lot of it is a little bit of information gathering, I will say, but it's also having conversations and can you build trust with this person to accomplish the goals that you have?
Sounds very reasonable. Susan, what do you think very successful leaders do to get guidance that others don't do?
I would say asking for help is probably one of the biggest ones. And it took me a while to learn that lesson. I did not realize how I wasn't doing that. And I was trying to do everything myself. And it really is not beneficial. It's not sustainable. And someone who was wise above me said, I have to ask for help too. You know, it's not like I know all the answers. And I think once he said that to me, it was almost like a big weight was lifted off me that I didn't have to do everything myself. So I really wish I would have learned that lesson sooner. And you just need to seek out some good counsel with some people that you trust, that you have had good experiences with, that have maybe already been through the situation that you're trying to get through, and learn from them. There's no need to try to work through stuff by yourself when other people can help you and bring you along. It spends a lot of time wasting on things that you don't need to do that way.
Great advice. Susan, whom do you know who's been really successful at smashing plateaus?
Well, I know a lot of people who've done a great job. I mean, I think some of the people in my old organization have really just demonstrated some things that I tried to emulate from them. And so some of them started, you know, maybe at the bottom of the ladder in their career, and they found ways to continue to move up, and they learned lessons, and they tried to figure out ways to build relationships, accomplish the goals that they had, demonstrate to their leadership that they were the right person for the next job. And I think in any organization, depending on the culture, that may change how you do things, but it's about learning kind of the rules of your organization and how can you accomplish those goals for yourself if that's what you have. So seek out people that are doing those things that you really want to do and try to learn from them because that's really what I did in my organization. And the managers that I had really were able to do that themselves. And I was really excited to learn from them and how they did it.
Yeah, you're so right. Asking for help can be one of the most beneficial ways to advance ourselves. If we don't ask, people don't know that we need the help.
Right.
I know it sounds very basic, but a lot of people don't do it.
Yeah, I think there's an ego thing sometimes that gets in the way that, oh, I shouldn't have to ask for help. I can do this by myself. Or am I demonstrating that I'm not a strong leader because I have to ask for help? And I think it demonstrates more strength that you did ask for help instead of trying to spin your wheels and do it by yourself and not get anywhere.
Yeah, sometimes I think there's this American myth that the individual leader is supposed to have all the answers and be able to do it himself or herself. And I think the myth actually is probably more himself.
Yeah.
And yes, there's real power in asking for help, building a great diverse team so that different people have different roles. And that team can also include people at different levels in an organization's hierarchy. I know as a leader, I have often been helped greatly by people who have been beneath me in the hierarchy and vice versa. So, yeah.
I love the reverse mentorship where you can learn from each other. And in most cases, that is what happens. And I think people just need to be open to that. And one thing I was going to say about this is I think there's a tendency generationally sometimes as to how you grew up and where you became a leader, at what age you became a leader and what generation you're in. Is some of that, I think, also plays into this asking for help thing. So millennials will have a whole different way of handling themselves, I think, in the organizations, and they are more open to doing asking for help than probably us older leaders are.
Yep, I totally agree. Susan, what do we have to look forward to in the near future from you? What's coming up?
So I have some mastermind groups that we are working through right now, and those will continue. So if anyone's interested in being part of a mastermind, we're calling it Vision Accomplished, and I would love to have anyone who's interested in being a part of a mastermind to join us. I also have some, call it like self-paced trainings that I'm doing now where there will be videos and templates and different things to help you in different areas of leadership. So I'm doing multiple modules, preparing those now. So those will be coming out soon. And I'm looking forward to really seeing those take off. And so those will be on my website if people would like to learn more information about those as they come out.
That's great. And what is the URL for your website? What's the easiest way for people to get in touch with you, follow you, learn more about you, etc.?
So SusanMBarber.com. Susan Barber was already taken, so I had to use my middle initials. So SusanMBarber.com. And you can sign up for my blog. I send a leadership blog out every weekday morning that just talks about different personal development areas, different struggles that leaders have. And on Fridays, I put together a resource summary of different thought leaders, articles that I've read that have been inspirational to me or have helped me, as well as my own list of blogs that I recap for people if they've missed them throughout the week.
Great. Well, Susan, thanks so much for taking the time to join us today on Smashing the Plateau. It's been a great discussion about how we can smash the plateau, and in particular, what kind of help is needed, how to get it, etc. So thanks so much. My guest today has been Executive Leadership Coach Susan Barber. Thank you again, Susan, for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to Smashing the Plateau, the podcast produced by Tend Strategic Partners. I hope you enjoyed our discussion. Have you ever hit a plateau in your own life or career? If so, let's talk. It would be my pleasure to take you through one of our free half-hour discovery sessions, where we'll get to the bottom of what might be keeping you stuck and how to move things forward. Just give me a call at 212-731-0770. That's 212-731-0770. You never know what you might find out.